All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinomine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharya. Namaste Shishunivadi Paskachari Sachari. Bande Ham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Sri Hurupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Bhutam Sam Sajivam. Sadvaitam Sadvaitam Padichana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Bhutamscha. Manjakapa Tribhushta Kipa Sindhubhya Vicha. Patitanam Pavanevya Vaishnava. Yes!
This one is the problem.
Oh, that's the problem.
Yes,
it's...
Something here is the problem. Manjakapa Tribhushta Kipa Sindhubhya Vicha. Patitanam Pavanevya Vaishnava. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So it's July 12, 2016. In Zagreb, Croatia, and we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Mother Yasoda Binds Lord Krishna, Text 5. Taman kamarudham apayayat. Taman kamarudham apayayat stanam.
Taman kamarudham apayayat stanam.
Sneha snutam samitam ikshati mukam.
Sneha snutam samitam
tam. Unto Krishna.
Unto Krishna.
Ankam arudam.
Ankam arudam.
Very affectionately allowing him to sit down on her lap.
Very affectionately allowing him to sit down on her lap.
Apayayat.
Apayayat.
Allowed to drink. Stanam.
Stanam.
Her breast. Sneha snutam, which was flowing with milk because of intense affection.
Sa smitam ikshati mukam.
Mother Yasoda was smiling and observing the smiling face of Krishna. Atriptam. Krishna, who was still not fully satisfied by drinking the milk. Utsridja, putting him aside. Javena, very hastily. Sa, Mother Yashoda. Yayao, left that place. Utsikyamane payasi, because of seeing that the milk was overflowing. Two, but adishrite in the milk pan on the oven. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mother Yasoda then embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap, and began to look upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breast. But when she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk, although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast. Purport. Everything in the household affairs of Mother Yasoda was meant for Krishna. Although Krishna was drinking the breast milk of Mother Yasoda, when she saw that the milk pan in the kitchen was overflowing, she had to take care of it immediately, and thus she left her son, who then became very angry, not having been fully satisfied with drinking the milk of her breast. Sometimes one must take care of more than one item of important business for the same purpose. Therefore, Mother Yasoda was not unjust when she left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. On the platform of love and affection, it is the duty of the devotee to do one thing first and other things later. The proper intuition by which to do this is given by Krishna. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam prithipurvakam vidami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayanti te, Bhagavad Gita 10.10. In Krishna consciousness, everything is dynamic. Krishna guides the devotee in what to do first and what to do next on the platform of absolute truth. Tam ankamarudam apaya yatstanam sneha snutam sam sasmitam ikshatim mukam atriptam utshrajajaye vasayayav utsikshamane payasi tu adrishrate. Mother Yasoda then embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap, and began to look upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breast. But when she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk, although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast. This particular lila is given by Rupa Goswami as an example of what do we mean by anukulyena in the main verse that defines what is bhakti. Anyabhilashita sunyam gyanakama anavritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uchiman. So the main, most important word there is, well, arguably Krishna, but most important word is anukulena, that it should be favorable to Krishna, it should be pleasing to Krishna. And Rupa Goswami gives two interesting examples. He said that when Krishna was fighting with Kamsa, Krishna enjoyed the fighting. But yet, Kamsa's fighting with Kamsa is not bhakti, because he wasn't trying to please Krishna. When Mother Yasoda put down Krishna when he was not satisfied, we have the word here, atriptam. Atriptam. So tripta means satisfied. Atripta means not satisfied. And here it's referring to Krishna. Krishna wasn't satisfied. He was drinking his mother's breast milk, but he had just started. He wasn't full. So Mother Yasoda puts him down before he is finished. And he became very angry, and we know what happens later. He breaks the butter pot in his anger. So even though he was very angry at Mother Yasoda's actions, her actions are considered bhakti because she was trying to please Krishna. So this is a very interesting concept. Whether or not Krishna is pleased is not so much what makes it bhakti as whether or not you're attempting to please Krishna. Isn't that interesting? Right? Kamsa was not trying to please Krishna, but Krishna was pleased by fighting with him. Mother Yasoda was trying to please Krishna. Krishna was not pleased by her putting him down. But Mother Yasoda's action is bhakti, and Kamsa's action is not bhakti. So that's a very interesting point, because we talk about, you know, our goal should be to please Krishna, our goal should be to please Guru, our goal should be to please the Vaishnavas. Sometimes they are not pleased. But still, it is bhakti if our desire is to please them. Usually, of course, our desire is not to please anybody but ourselves. That is the reality. But if our desire is actually to please the Lord and to please Guru, of course, one cannot just make something up. So I was in a temple where the temple president, who also had many disciples there, would say sometimes, I really like yellow. Yellow is my favorite color. And one time when he was traveling, one of his disciples decided to paint all of the buildings on the temple property bright yellow. So everything, I mean, the temple, the guest house, the storage shed, everything, you know. And his Guru Maharaj comes back and, what is this? Not like this color yellow, but bright, bright, bright yellow. And he was not pleased. And so we can't just make up something. We cannot just say, well, I'm going to offer Krishna my cigarettes and my marijuana and that will please him. You know, you can't just make up something. You know, I think having a restaurant selling wine will please Krishna, so I will do that. So it's not only one's intention, because anukulena also means to follow. Anu means to follow. So one has to have the intention to please Krishna, which is understood by following the previous acharyas, not just making something up. So here we have the main issue, though, although that's certainly important that this verse is used by Rupa Goswami as an explanation of what is bhakti. But the main issue that Srila Prabhupada speaks about in this purport is priorities. How do you prioritize your life? You know, it's difficult. I know when I was visiting my son, so he was sitting down playing some games with the children, and my daughter-in-law says, "How can you sit down and play games with the children when this thing in the house is broken?" And he said, "My dear wife, there's enough work to do in this world that we could work 24 hours a day and never get it all done." He said, "Sometimes you just have to decide that you're going to do something else." And I thought, this is very wise, actually. If we think about all the things that we have to do in Krishna service, even putting aside what we want to do in this world, but just what we want to do in Krishna service, we could easily have no time for sleeping, no time for eating, no time for bathing, no time for anything. Isn't that a fact? Right? Even if you wanted just to do a thorough cleaning of this temple, how many people would it take for how many hours just to do that? And if you said, okay, every day we're going to do a thorough cleaning of it, that would be all you would do. You wouldn't do anything. You wouldn't have time for anything else. So what do we do first? And I would say, not only what do we do first, I mean, Srila Prabhupada's talking here primarily in terms of time. We have the word in the Sanskrit, javena, very hastily. So she's there, she's embracing her son, and she's feeding him, and she's looking at her son, and she's smiling, and he's smiling, and there's this beautiful exchange of love going on. And then she sees the milk is boiling. So very quickly, if any of you have ever been in a kitchen where the milk is boiling over, you know if the milk is starting to boil over, you very quickly stop what you're doing, isn't it? If the water's running in the sink, you leave the water running and you just go and take care of the milk. Especially if you have the kind of a gas stove where it can go under and everything, and whew, you know, and you could be spending 2 or 3 hours just cleaning up all of the milk. I mean, one time I was boiling some milk and one devotee came, knocked on my door, and she had an emergency, and I went to help her. I forgot that I had the milk on the stove. You can just imagine when I came back, my whole the whole flat was full of smoke. Thankfully, there wasn't a fire. It took me 1 month to clean that pot. Every day I would work on it a little bit, scrubbing. But I don't know why I didn't just throw the pot away, but I really liked that pot. So when you have this experience, as soon as the milk is boiling, immediately, so she just, without explanation, you know, without any explanation. I remember one time a devotee was very angry with me because she was talking to me on the phone and I had some emergency there and I just hung up the phone to take care of the emergency. She never forgave me for that. Why did you hang up the phone? I'm trying to explain. I had to go immediately take care of something. So Krishna also, he didn't like it that she just put him down without explanation. So Prabhupada's here talking about time priority. She decided, oh, first she's feeding Krishna, and then now I have to first take care of the milk, and then I will come back and feed Krishna. Of course, when she came back to finish breastfeeding Krishna, he was not there. He had broken the pot and he had run away after when she took care of everything. But I think priorities is not just in terms of time. Priority is also in terms of quality. Because it is not possible to do everything we do in a day to the top level of quality that is theoretically possible. That is also, we also have to prioritize, what am I going to do today and not tomorrow? What am I going to do at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock? And we also have to prioritize, what am I going to do to my best possible capacity, and what am I going to do to a medium capacity, and what am I going to do to a low capacity? Because it's not just a question of time, it's a question of energy. So most of us, not only we don't have the time to do everything we want to do, but we also don't have the energy to do everything we want to do to the best possible way it could be done. Does that make sense to everybody? So just like I prepared for this class yesterday. So I could have spent, you know, a year to prepare for this class. You understand? Or I could have spent 3 hours. I could have made a whole PowerPoint with different pictures. I could have put music in it. You follow? Or I could have made handouts for everybody. And here's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says on this verse. Here's what Jiva Goswami says. I could have put all the verses together, or we could have, you know, had a flip chart and I put all of that. I could have made interactive activities for this class. You understand? So if someone said, okay, please teach this verse to the best possible level of quality that is at all possible anywhere, I would have spent probably at least 20 hours. So I spent about, I don't know, about 15, 20 minutes. I didn't spend 20 hours. So part of that reason, I didn't have 20 hours. I had to do so many other things. And also I didn't have that energy. So how do we decide what we're going to do? What we're going to do first and what we're going to give what kind of energy to? And this is, it's a very big question that it's one of the most frequent questions that devotees ask in some form or another. As I travel the world, I'd say there are about 5 to 10 questions or areas that I get asked over and over and over and over and over again. And one of the big ones has to do with the way people say it. They'll say, how do I balance my life? How do I prioritize my time? How do I work out all the responsibilities I have? They may ask it with different language, but it's basically the same. So Srila Prabhupada here gives a very, very simple answer. He just says, Krishna will tell you. That's Prabhupada's very simple answer. I think Bhaktitirtha Swami talks about this, how he went to Srila Prabhupada and asked him, you know, how to do something that Prabhupada had asked him to do. And Prabhupada just said to him, Krishna will tell you. In the beginning of the movement, when Srila Prabhupada asked the devotees to start the Back to Godhead magazine in America, and the devotees who he asked had no experience with starting a magazine. Absolutely none. I mean, this was one of Srila Prabhupada's challenges in that he was usually asking people to do things who had no knowledge or experience in the area in which he was asking to do them. Now, sometimes he would give them training, like the devotees who made the dioramas, the dolls. He sent them to Bengal to learn the art. But other times he would say, no. Like Jadarani was painting very crudely. And she said, you know, should I take more lessons? And Prabhupada said, no, just keep painting. You'll become expert by painting. So, interesting. And that's it, Prabhupada's only answer here. You have more than one thing to do for Krishna at the same time. What do you do first? You ask Krishna. And this is particularly interesting because in this case, Krishna is right there in front of her. He's right there in her lap. You know, you could say, ask Krishna, what does that mean? Do I go to the deities, Gaurinitai? You know, what would you like me to do? Do I just chant Hare Krishna, please reveal to me what to do? Do I, you know, go into some deep meditative trance like a yogi and, you know, open up all my chakras and nadis and have it just going to be revealed to me? You know, what does this mean? Ask Krishna. And sometimes you don't have any time. And Mother Yasoda, the milk's boiling over, she had to just run. You could say, ask the other devotees, but sometimes they're not available. Some of the most difficult decisions I had to make in my life was at a time when I couldn't contact anybody. I was running a project and I had a very difficult decision. And all of the other leaders were in India in a place I couldn't contact them. This was before we had Skype and before people had mobile phone. I had no way to contact them. And another time, one of my most difficult decisions, I was in an airport and I was trying to reach, again, devotees in India. It was midnight in India and they were not answering the phone. You know, I'm calling them and calling them and calling them and they're just simply not answering the phone. Calling all different numbers. And so sometimes you cannot consult with anybody. There's nobody to ask. But it's very interesting. She's holding Krishna in her lap. Now, Krishna at this point, we assume, is too young to speak. That's why when he wanted her breast milk, he just held the churning rod. You remember that from yesterday? He showed his cleverness and she was so pleased. Oh, he's such a clever child. He's telling me what he wants by holding the rod. So, first of all, there was no time because the milk is boiling over. And second of all, if she asked little baby Krishna, what should I do? Should I keep feeding you or should I take care of the milk? So he couldn't even speak. And if she did ask him, what would he have said? He would have said, you keep feeding me. We know that because he became angry. Okay. In fact, it's very interesting, especially the devotees in Vatsalya Bhav have this difficulty. How do they ask Krishna? Because they don't see Krishna as their authority at all. I mean, sometimes, like in Govardhan Leela, Krishna's just 7 years old and everybody, Krishna, Krishna, Govinda, Govinda, you know, or when Nandamarj is being swallowed by the snake, Krishna, Krishna. But generally, the devotees in Vatsalya Bhav, they don't see Krishna as their shelter. They see themselves as Krishna's shelter. It's a very particular way of thinking. You know, so the young gopis in Madhurya Bhav, it's very natural that a girl sees her boyfriend as her shelter. Right? Or a woman sees her husband as her shelter. Even among the cowherd boys, at least those that are the same age or younger. Of course, again, the cowherd boys that are a little older, they have this mixture of parental and fraternal. So they also see, I am Krishna's protector. Interesting, very interesting. So they don't really ask Krishna what to do. Sometimes, like in Govardhan Leela or something, but generally they don't. Those in Vatsalya Bhav, who do they ask? It's very interesting. They ask Narayan. They worship Narayan. Right, when Putin is there, then the motherly gopis, they're chanting Narayan mantras to protect Krishna. When Sanatana Goswami says that when Krishna goes out to herd the cows, Mother Yasoda puts a Nasinga Kavacha on him, and she says, you know, if there's any demons come, you pray to Nasinga Dev. And Krishna is trying not to smile. And Rupa Goswami says, may his suppressed smile benedict you all. So this is a very, very particular and peculiar, we could say, understanding in Goloka, only in Goloka Vrindavan, and only those who have some mixture of Vatsalya Bhav, that they don't ask Krishna what. Can you imagine, you know, can you imagine asking your son, what should I do today? You know, how should I prioritize my day? So it would be a little peculiar, yes? Right? You ask your little baby who can't even talk yet. So what should I do first today? And what should I give my energy to today? So naturally it's expected that the mother has more of a sense of priorities than the baby. You know, the baby asks the mother doesn't ask the baby. So that's interesting. Our Vaishnava theology is very interesting. Prabhupada says how everyone in the world, they're worshipping God as the father. But we're saying you can become Krishna's father. Again, sometimes they ask Krishna, just even though he's a little child. You know, Krishna convinces his father to do Govardhan Puja, of course. But one could argue, well, Mother Yasoda even had Krishna right there, and still she acted in a way that he became angry. And what to speak of myself, I don't see Krishna sitting in my lap. I don't see Krishna standing next to me. I mean, maybe some of you do, but in general, I'd say we don't have that experience. How am I going to ask Krishna? So I was thinking we could give a few guidelines as to how we could prioritize according to Srila Prabhupada's general instruction. So, of course, we do have the Lord in the heart, and it's not inconsequential, and it's not only reserved for advanced devotees. Srila Prabhupada does not say in this purport, the advanced devotees get instruction from Krishna and everybody else just is blind. That's not what Srila Prabhupada is saying here. And as I said, very early in the movement, Prabhupada would say to devotees, Krishna will help you. Krishna will guide you. But we also have Sadhu Shastra Guru. Now again, sometimes you can't just say, you have some emergency and you can't just try to find where is the verses in the Shastra. But we should know Sadhu Shastra Guru so well that when we are in a difficult situation, we already know what is the relevant sections from the Shastra. We already know what is the examples of the sadhus. Do you understand? Just like Maharaj Ambarish, when Durvasa Muni was there, he had to decide very quickly what to do. So he knew that drinking water was fasting and not fasting. I mean, there's some indication that he asked the brahmanas, but he didn't really have time to ask the brahmanas. It was more, he really made the decision on his own with the blessings of the brahmanas. So we should know Guru Sadhu Shastra so well that It is internalized, and if we are in a situation where we cannot consult, then we should know what to do. Obviously, if we can consult, then we should consult. As soon as a person thinks, I am independent, I can make all my own decisions without consulting anybody, then they are in very big trouble. Then they are thinking they are God. So if it's possible to consult, consult. Of course, sometimes we consult and we will get 10 different answers from 10 different people. This was the problem even with Maharaj Birkin, when he was saying, what do I do when I am about to die? What do I do? What do I do? And the different sages were giving him different responses. So therefore, there has to be a combination of external and internal. Krishna's guidance in the heart and the guidance of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra externally. So if we get some guidance and our heart is just filled with anxiety, that is also a praman. You understand? That is also evidence that we're not understanding things correctly. Some general principles that Srila Prabhupada gives us, first of all, is put Krishna first. Now, in this case, Mother Yasoda had Krishna and Krishna. Her breast milk was for Krishna, and the milk on the stove was for Krishna. So it wasn't a question of putting Krishna first. It was all Krishna. But for many of us, our questions are direct Krishna and related to Krishna. Like Prabhupada talks about, the iron rod in the fire becomes hot like fire. But the iron rod is only hot like fire when it's in the fire or recently been in the fire. Like you put a pot on the stove. The pot is not inherently hot. With the fire, it's hot. So first have a fire. If the question is, what do I do first, the pot or the fire? The answer is always, first the fire. This means first our sadhana. That should always be our first priority. My 16 rounds, my 3 Gayatris, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, worshipping the deity. These basic practices must receive our priority in terms of time and in terms of energy. You don't want to give only 2% of your energy to your japa. Now, you can't give 100% of your energy to your japa, then you can't even eat prasadam. You understand? And you would just give everything to your japa and then you would sleep the rest of the day. But we need to prioritize our japa, our Gayatri, our puja, our shastra study as far as our time and energy. That needs to be first. If I spent an hour or two preparing for this class, I would show you a video. Or if I spent a few hours, I would actually have the objects. So I don't know if you've ever seen this, but seeing it is very dramatic. So they take 2 glass jars. They have a pile of rocks, big rocks, a pile of small rocks, a pile of sand, and a pile of water. So first they try to put in, if you first put in the water, then you can't put in anything else. If you first put in the sand, then you can put in the sand and the water. If you first put in the small rocks, you can put in the small rocks, the sand, and the water. If you first put in the big rocks, then you can usually put in everything. So to do first what is most important. Again, if you see this, it's just talking about it is not very convincing, but if you see it or if you do it, then it's quite convincing. When you do the first things, the most important things first, I mean, obviously, you wake up in the morning, first thing you do, you use the toilet, you take a shower. But when you put our main Krishna activities first, in terms of our energy and in terms of our time, then you find that you have time for most other things. We will not have time for everything in this life. That's just not going to happen. I mean, unless you have a very short list of what you want to do. When I used to have a physical inbox, now my inbox is electronic, when I used to have a physical place where I would put my things to do, so, you know, every month or two I would go through the whole box and there would be something that was too late. You understand? Something that had expired, the date was over, I couldn't do it anymore and I just threw it away. And, you know, my life just went on without a problem. So there's many things we will not do, even the great acharyas, even Srila Prabhupada, he left this world before he finished the Bhagavatam. Even the great acharyas, when they pass from this world, they're in the middle of some unfinished service usually. So we don't have to think, I have to do everything. Put Krishna first. Another important principle Srila Prabhupada wrote in a letter to Satsrupa Maharaj, preaching and then management. He said, if you emphasize preaching, then management will follow like a shadow. So it's a very similar principle. I put my own personal sadhana first before the other things I have to do. And if I'm managing some project, then I put the group sadhana first. I make sure that the devotees are taken care of. I make sure that preaching is taken care of. And then I worry about the other things. Taking care of people before projects. What I've discovered in doing projects is the right people are much, much, much more important than money. If you have good people and you don't have enough money, you can do very, very wonderful things. And if you have lots and lots of money and you have no good people, it's all useless. You know, many times we think it's all about money. It's definitely not all about money. If you don't have a good vision, if you don't have good people, money will just be wasted. Or it will just sit there. You know? So people first. Taking care of the people first. Don't sacrifice people for projects. We don't want to be like the military where we, you know, we have a campaign, and in the campaign, like in D-Day, when the Americans and the British and so forth landed on the beaches of Normandy. So the generals estimated that 70% of the soldiers would die or be, you know, seriously, permanently injured. And it was a fact. It was a fact. That's exactly what happened. But they thought, you know, our cause is so great that it's worth this sacrifice. But we shouldn't have this mood in our Hare Krishna movement. We shouldn't think, you know, the preaching is so important, our mission is so important, that if we destroy the spiritual lives of 70% of our devotees, then it's worth it. To take care of our own spiritual lives, to take care of other spiritual lives. But Srila Prabhupada also said to save ourselves first. He said the highest principle is to save others, and higher than that is to save yourself. So our own spiritual life has to come before other things. The spiritual life of the people we're taking care of has to come before other things. And if it's a choice between my spiritual life and your spiritual life, I better make sure I take care of my spiritual life. One of my the saddest things that I did in my life, I was in Ljubljana, and it was 8:30 at night, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and I still had two rounds to finish. And I was very tired. I'd been doing many, many programs all day and running around. I was just exhausted. So I went in the room and I locked the door, and then people knocking. It was this husband and wife. They had traveled 4 hours just to see me. And they had some big question, and they had to leave early the next morning. And I said, I'm very sorry. I said, Prabhupada said, the highest principle is to save others, and higher than that is to save yourself. I said, I'm sorry, I have to save myself. But it's something I have been regretting, and that was many, many years ago, something I've been regretting for a very long time, that I wasn't able to serve those devotees. But that is the priority. So, highest principle to save others, higher than that, save yourself. In one's own life, one's Krishna consciousness has to be the priority, and in helping others, their Krishna consciousness has to be the priority. In a project, preaching is the priority over management. We learn what to do from Sadhu Shastra and Guru, and we learn what to do from Krishna in our heart. And the things that we should really judge, whether or not we are prioritizing properly. You judge a tree by its fruits. It's like here, there's so many fruit trees. So, you know, this is a plum tree, this is an apple tree, and this tree doesn't give any fruits. So how do you know what kind of tree it is? You know by what it produces, correct? When I was in school, we were studying the trees by the shape of their leaves. How can Darwin explain why different trees have different shaped leaves? There should just be the same shape for all the trees. There's no practical utility in having different shaped leaves. So you know what is a tree by its fruit. So how do we know that we are prioritizing properly? How do we judge? And this is, again, not only in terms of order, like Prabhupada's talking here, what you do first, but also in terms of energy. You understand? How much energy, how much thought, how much care do you give to something? By the fruits. And the fruits, my dear friends, doesn't mean how many temples get built, how many books get distributed, how many preparations we cook. Those are not the fruits that we judge by. The fruits that we judge by are things like, are we happy? Sustukam kartam avinu. Are we full of peace? Yatvamam shanti mitchati. Are we full of knowledge? Jnanadipena bhashvata. These should be our fruits that we judge. And if we're not filled with peace, if we're not filled with joy, if we're not filled with knowledge, if we're not developing in our attachment to Krishna, if we're not losing our attachment for material sense enjoyment, if we're not treating the other devotees nicely, then there's something wrong with our life. If I'm yelling at the other devotees, if I'm offending the other devotees, if I'm always disturbed, if I'm angry, if I'm bitter, I'm doing something wrong. These are the symptoms. Just like disease and health in the body has symptoms, right? When we were at the camp, I was sitting at the back in one of the classes, and one of the devotees ahead of me, her hair was very shiny. And I was thinking, this means somebody is healthy. I was thinking, why is shiny hair attractive? I thought it shows that there's health. You know, that your skin is shiny, your hair is shiny, your eyes are bright. You know I have health. So spiritually also we should see, for ourselves and for others. How do I know I'm prioritizing properly in the temple? The devotees are happy and peaceful. They're full of knowledge. They're becoming detached. They treat each other nicely. And if it's not happening, then there's something is wrong. There's something out of place. That doesn't mean we never have any anxiety for Krishna, but that anxiety should be a joyful anxiety. It should be a happy kind of anxiety. So questions, comments, corrections, additions, subtractions, chastisements. I don't think we can cover this in 20 minutes. Yes, Prabhu.
Sure. Regarding this, I have a few questions that I will set on the button and then later in the next time.
Okay.
So regarding this, I see it that if we are all the time angry at other persons, we find this in the Bhagavad Gita, that this is basically a product of lower movements of nature. And so
yes.
If we are all the time like this, and something is wrong in our practice.
Yes.
The only judgment, or maybe it's not only judgment, if we are doing right or not, is if we are happy. Is it so? Because we are sometimes to do the activities based on what is right, what is not right.
Mm.
So this is the mode of goodness. We do the things, especially in the beginning, which are not making us happy.
Mm.
So. Is this, am I happy or not happy? Is this the only?
No, it's not the only. So we talked about inspiration from the Lord in the heart, which was what Prabhupada is, the only thing Prabhupada's talking about in this book. We talked about Sadhu Shastra Guru. We talked about our actual practices of sadhana, which are externally measurable things. Are you chanting 16 rounds or not? That's not just some emotion. But in addition, one should be feeling joyful. The mode of goodness, although it says the happiness in the mode of goodness is like poison in the beginning and nectar at the end, it shouldn't go on being poison, 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 poison. Then you're in the mode of ignorance. Because in the mode of ignorance, you're never happy. So if you say, practically, it should be very quickly that it turns into nectar. It shouldn't be a very long time. Shouldn't be a long time. No. The time that it's uncomfortable should be very brief. If we're thinking I can measure my surrender by how uncomfortable I feel, then we have a very strange idea of God. The more I'm connected with Krishna, the more joyful that I should feel. I mean, some things will be uncomfortable at first. When I moved into the ashram and I had to give away all of my records, all of my music, so I didn't like that very much. You know, in those days there was practically no Krishna conscious music at all. There was a few records of Srila Prabhupada singing. What else was there? There was George Harrison's Radha Krishna Temple album. That was about it. I mean, I don't even remember in the beginning having recordings of devotees chanting after a little while. So there was three or four things to listen to. And, you know, I had a whole record collection of rock and roll and jazz and blues and classical and all these things. And I always used to listen to music all of the time. So that was definitely difficult. I'd say for me that was my biggest surrender in moving into the ashram. But it didn't go on being painful forever, you know. It was painful for maybe a week. And it wasn't that all day long I was like, oh, where's my music? I was happy. Sometimes I was thinking, oh, where's my music? But that wasn't a constant problem. Is that okay?
Yes, it's there.
But it's one of the gauges, and it's an important gauge.
Yes.
It's not unimportant. It's not the only gauge. None of these is the only gauge. It can't be. Even if you're going to say you have to save yourself first, but if some devotee fell down the stairs and cracked his head open, you know what? You're just going to go to the hospital. If you say, sorry, this is my japa time, and Prabhupada says, I have to save myself first. No, you just put down your beads and you go to the hospital. So none of these is, you understand, none of these is an absolute thing. And sometimes you're going to have to say, if you're a manager, sometimes you have to say to the devotees, I don't care what you want to do, this has to get done right now. You know, I need my time to read or whatever. But if you're doing that all the time, then that's very bad management. But sometimes, just like Prabhupada says, there's ordinary, desired, and emergency. So emergency, there's no rules, really. There's just no rules at all in an emergency. You know, if a sannyasi is there alone and some woman gets hit by a car, he says, no, I'm not going to help because I'm a sannyasi. There's no rules. In emergency, there's nothing. But if we're having an emergency all the time, then there's something wrong with our management. So, but none of these are absolute. None of these principles are absolute. Even this one of asking Krishna, because as I said, Krishna's right there. I find it fascinating. In this purport, the only thing Srila Prabhupada says, in this particular purport, is ask Krishna. That's the only thing he says in this purport. But in this purport, to this verse, if Mother Yasoda asked Krishna, Krishna would have said, let the milk boil and sink. And that's not what she did. And yet, her behavior is used as the example of something favorable to Krishna, even though Krishna didn't like it. So, sorry, bhakti is about people and about relationships ultimately. In the beginning, we may think bhakti is like a rule book. You know, I remember one devotee saying, the more I come to the Hare Krishna movement, the more rules that I am told I have to follow. You know? So I think it's like this rule book that's getting bigger and bigger. The GBC keep passing resolutions, but they don't erase very many. You know, so it gets bigger and bigger. We just think, okay, if I want to know what to do, I have to look for the rule. But ultimately, it's a question of relationships. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Something else? Anybody? Yes?
I have a question about this phrase, like follow your heart, what you are feeling about.
Okay.
I get sometimes confused because sometimes this hard thing is telling, get your time for something, don't do that.
Uh-huh.
And after I found I shouldn't listen that hard because now I'm regretting. Like, hard is like for me then something what is changing always, like emotions. Uh-huh.
Oh, that is, I'm so glad you asked that question. So there was a while ago, some lady came to talk to me, she's an older lady, like late 60s, 70s, and she and her husband had been divorced for many, many, many years. So she's a devotee. And she was helping one young man in the temple, she was giving him advice and things like that, one man who was mentally ill. So she was trying to help him here and there, and then sometimes they would meet outside the temple. They'd meet at a restaurant or something like that. And then at one point she thought, oh, maybe if I take him to India, that will help him. So she just went, just the two of them went to India. And then traveling alone, they became attached to each other. So she came to see me and she said, you know, I have now this attachment for this man who's mentally ill and much, much younger than me. And she said, oh, old lady. And she said, what should I do? And I said, well, what do you think you should do? She said, well, I'm feeling I can help him. In my heart, I feel I can help him. I said, okay, but that's not the only thing that we use to know what Krishna wants us to do. I said, the question is going and being with him your service or not? I said, that is the question. Is that your service? And how do you know? She said, well, we know by our heart and by intuition. I said, anything else? She said, well, by guru. She said, but my guru has passed away. I said, well, if you asked him, if he was here and you could ask him, what do you think he would say? And she said, he would probably say I shouldn't be with him. I said, okay, what else is there? She's thinking. I said, the Shastra. She said, oh yes, the Shastra. I said, if you looked in the Shastra, what would it say? She said, oh, definitely I should not do this. I said, okay. I said, what else is there? The sadhus. I said, so if you ask the sadhus, what will they say? She says, they will say I should not do this. I said, okay, what about your intelligence? What does your intelligence say? She got this very confused look on her face, and she says, I don't know. I said, suppose it was not about you. Suppose it was about somebody else. You were looking at somebody else's situation, and you were using your intelligence. What would you say? Oh, I would say, definitely don't do this. I said, so the only thing telling you to do this is your intuition. And everything else is telling you not to do this. And she said, oh, but I need someone to lean on. I said, are you going to lean on him or he is going to lean on you? Oh, he is going to lean on me. I said, so what should you do? So she started laughing and she said, I am simply a fool. I said, what is this all about really? And she was just, it was very sweet. She was just loving. And I said, what is this all about, really? I said, it's really about lust and pride only. That is the only thing. There is no service here. So my point is that the heart is not the only. You cannot, we have the heart, we have the intelligence, we have sadhu, shastra, guru. You know, all of these things have to go together. But the heart is also important. If you try to just deny the heart, then you're also going to be in trouble. You understand? You shouldn't just say, okay, because Shastra is very broad. Instructions of Shastra, you can find an instruction in Shastra for almost anything if you like. You know, Shastra is very broad. What am I going to do? I'm going to look in the Shastra. I mean, always remember Krishna, that's simple. But if you've got to have some detail, what do I do? Difficult. And sadhus, you know, every muni has their own opinion. Even among the devotees. You're not necessarily going to find a consensus. And your guru may also say to you, this is not, you know, you have to decide. Or maybe you can't contact your guru so fast. Maybe they're not physically available to you. So you have to put it all together. But you want to, again, see, is this going to bring me closer to Krishna? Real joy, not like just some material joy like eating ice cream. Is this going to bring me spiritual joy by bringing me closer to Krishna? Is it going to bring joy to the other devotees? That is also important. If you deny that, then you're going to end up in trouble sometimes. That's my experience, because that is also a praman. Yes, Prabhu.
So it doesn't mean that this lust and pride from our heart is speaking, actually. If we have lust and pride in the heart, and then that's why we feel this from the heart.
In this particular case, that was the situation. Which is also why being able to hear Krishna in the heart generally involves coming to Sattva-gun and to Sudha-sattva. Generally, because sometimes Krishna speaks even audibly, even to ordinary people. I remember reading one story from World War II, where this young woman was helping some people escape from the Nazis. And they went to a barn, and they were thinking of hiding in the hay, and she actually heard a voice, "Don't go there." So they hid someplace else, and when the Nazis came in the barn, they took their bayonets and they were piercing the hay. They would have all been killed. So sometimes Krishna speaks directly to people. You know, he has that capacity to do that, even if you're not a devotee, or even if you're, you know, in some religious system. But generally, we want to elevate ourselves also. We want to eat in Sattva-gun, or bhakti preferably. You know, we want to have our eating, our hearing, our speaking, our association, our environment in bhakti, so that we'll be purified. And because the demons are thinking, you know, well, I'm inspired to do this and I'm inspired to do that also. They're also working on inspiration. So it cannot be the only praman. So try to live a pure life, but definitely, your heart is, your emotions and your feelings and your desires are part of the evidence. Denying them absolutely puts you at great risk. Does that make sense to you? We have a sense of things being funny. You understand? Yeah.
And I want to see if I can clarify something. In Marshall Rosenberg's work, he says that emotions help us see whether our needs are met or not.
Oh, yes.
So if you have unpleasant emotions, that means some needs are not met.
Not being met.
And if you have pleasant emotions, that means some needs are met.
Yes.
So he uses the needs in this connection, and then immediately he focuses on satisfying needs or acknowledging in such action I satisfy this that need or it's so he uses it as a sign,
as a gauge.
Yeah, as a sign, not as a destination, but as a road sign.
As a road sign. Also, it's interesting. You know, I've studied a lot of his work in bhakti. The so-called negative emotions are also included. So we can have ecstatic fear and ecstatic anger and, you know, ecstatic anxiety for Krishna, but it feels very different. So fear that's mixed with love for Krishna feels very different than just ordinary material fear. And then as far as our needs being met, the only way our needs are actually met is if we're connecting with Krishna. But I do feel that if we ignore our emotions and desires, and if we ignore the emotions and desires of others, thinking, you know, we're just going to work on the platform of intelligence, then we're not really bhakti yogis, we're more gyan yogis. We've kind of lost the whole point of everything. We're not meant to be just robotic intelligence people. I am just working on the... And that is not a safe guide either. Your intelligence can be contaminated. Lust can also reside in your intelligence. Therefore, all these things together. You can read the Shastras and misinterpret the Shastras. the Christians say, devil citing Shastra, and Prabhupada would quote that. You can pick which sadhu you want to listen to, you know? You understand? You can pick one instruction of the guru. Therefore, the ultimate gauge has to be, do you exhibit the qualities of a sadhu? That is the old. There really isn't anything. And that's not so much your emotions and your desires, because it's somewhat objective. If someone says, you know, well, my intuition and my emotion is telling me to blaspheme the devotees, but we see objectively that that behavior is not in line with the Shastra. Does that make some sense to you? There are 26 qualities of a devotee are not just internally experienced, they're also externally manifested. The 9 symptoms of bhava are externally manifested. So if we're doing the right thing, not only will we feel joy and peace inside, but it will be obvious to others also. You know, I know for myself, there's certain things that I've done where devotees would tell me, generally nicely, Urmila, this is not a very good thing to do. Because they could see it wasn't good for me. They'd say, when you act in this way, it simply disturbs you. So I'm not just talking about our emotions and our desires internally, but something that other people can also see. Like Hiranyakashipu, when he was in control of the universe, it said he was always drunk on liquor, and he was yelling at the demigods for no reason. So those two things are signs that inside you're not happy. I mean, when we met Srila Prabhupada, we could have externally observable behaviors that internally he was full of peace and joy. Even though Prabhupada would sometimes get very angry at people, we could understand that his mood was loving. So that is really our... When I'm talking about that as the main fruit, it's not simply something personally subjective. Is that a little clearer? That has got to be. That is the main thing. All of these things, which is why I understand that Srila Prabhupada is only talking about this thing. He's not bringing in all these other... At least not in this purport. Am I getting more attached to Krishna, more detached from Maya? That there are observable, objective symptoms of that. Yes? Am I correct? At least over the long haul. You can, you know, for a few days you can pretend. Yes?
I have one question, because many days I spend in disturbing myself. I'm disturbed myself.
Mm.
I'm not disturbed with people around me. I'm disturbed because sometimes I feel I'm in mode of ignorance and passion, you know, and I can't reach that mode of goodness.
Mm.
And when I try to grow in spiritually, I can't, because I'm disturbed with my emotions.
Mm.
In my heart I feel I'm completely lost.
Mm.
And I cannot, even I chanting, you know. Some days I spent chanting 5 rounds and all day I stop.
Mm.
And some days I chant the whole 16 rounds.
Mm.
I really, my emotion stops me
from doing it. I really like level. In the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, so Arjuna asks, what are the symptoms of someone who's transcended the modes and how do you do it? And when Krishna gives the symptoms, he says, one who does not hate attachment, illumination, and delusion when they appear, nor long from them when they disappear, who is always separate and neutral as the observer. So what you are describing is that the modes of material nature are constantly attacking our body and our mind. Constantly. Prabhupada talks about this in the purport. That as long as we have a material body and mind, we're going to be attacked by goodness, passion, and ignorance. That is not going to go away as long as you have a material body. It is not going to go away. What will go away is your involvement in it. You want to become an observer. And this, I'm glad you brought this up, because sometimes when we talk about feeling joy within, that can maybe just that the mode of goodness happens to be there at that particular moment. And if the mode of ignorance is there at that particular moment. But that's not the kind of joy we're talking about. We're talking about something that has nothing to do even with sattva-guna. You want to become an observer. You can think of it like you go into a shop where they are selling television sets, and on the television set, on one television set there's a romance, on one television set there's a battle, another television set there's a comedy. But you're not watching, you're there to buy something else. So you walk past the television sets, but you're not emotionally involved. Now if you were watching, you would be emotionally involved. If you were really watching, then when somebody's hurt, they're hurt. But as you walk past, somebody's getting shot, yes? You've had this experience? You're in the store, you walk past the set, and bang, 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 and it doesn't affect you. But if you're watching the movie, then it affects you. Or you drive down the street and there's a car accident, and somebody's going in an ambulance, and you have no emotional... Nothing happens to you emotionally. But if that's your mother or your sister, then immediately you're emotional. You understand? So what's happening in the body and the mind, you are the observer. It's not you become the observer. You are the observer. So this is not me. I am not this body. I am not this mind. The ups and downs of happiness and sadness and fear and concern and energy and tired and hungry and full and all these things that happen in the body and the mind, it's like something on a screen. And how do you come to that point? Mam cha yogi avicharina bhakti yogina sevate sagunan samatit chaitam brahma bhuyai kalpate. That you chant 16 rounds when you're up and when you're down. That's how you come to that point of understanding that I am the observer. I take prasadam when I'm up and when I'm down. And you know what? Doing those things when you're down, you're probably making a lot more spiritual advancement than doing those things when you're up.
But sometimes, all the time also, I think, I get too much this material concept of life because of these things that not just happen to me every day.
Yes.
Or just because we are too weak to surrender into Krishna.
Yes. I hope this helps you a little bit. Just, it's not you. It's not you. It's just like the weather. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold. Sometimes it's rainy, sometimes it's sunny. But you still eat. You eat when it's cold, you eat when it's hot. You eat when it's rainy, you eat when it's sunny. You know, you may have to dress a little differently, but your basic life is still going on. So, like that. So this, obviously, I see we could be talking about this for a very long time. This is very, it's a very deep thing. That's why I said yesterday that I really like this verse in purport, because I think it's something very important for us. But we do need to stop. Srila Prabhupada, keep going.